Welcome back. This is episode 79, your Hump Day podcast, 8-Bit Bourbon. And we got a very special show today. I'm just kidding. It's going to just be episode 79. We just managed to take a good hour nap, or at least I did. It was amazing.
You did. I watched you sleep.
Yeah. Did you turn off your laptop so you could really soak it in?
No, I don't even know what I was doing.
We went to see the Entourage movie.
Which is really good. You guys should all go see it if you watch the show.
We very much enjoyed it. And we got absolutely shit canned all day yesterday, so
yep.
Sitting inside on this beautiful day was the perfect thing, I think.
We really got to get back in the habit of recording these podcasts before we go on the benders.
I know. Friday, we got to do it Friday nights again someday.
But it's hard. It's hard in the summer.
It is. You just want to go outside and hang. We played a shitload of can jams so that we're very sore, which tells us how out of shape we are.
Yeah, we keep talking about how we're going to figure out a way to Twitch can jam. And we have yet to even attempt it.
Yeah, someday. I think if we use the window where you put the radio, and we could get something going on there.
How would we do it, mics? I don't even fucking know.
I feel like we just have to have a mic on each side on a thing, but we'd have to have super long cables to make that work.
Yeah.
I don't see it ever happening.
No, never.
Or we could use one mic and just scream, I guess. I think what we need is what we were talking about before, where like have, you know... I'm trying to think of who could do it. Maybe Pun sit up there and commentate.
Yeah, we have like on that, like Sports Center announcers.
Right. I think that's the only way you could do it. Otherwise, you'd have to have, you know, you could do interviews after the game, stuff like that. You'd have to come over to the table.
That'd be funny.
That would. But did I mention that this was sponsored by Miller Lite today?
Hopefully, this Red Bull vodka I'm drinking kicks it up a notch.
You're just going to find us going, what were we talking about?
I know. Like, I've been on like a stretch of not being that tired at all, but this weekend, man, I'm tired.
Yeah, we just really just all day drank 2 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens.
Yeah.
What else you got going on before I get into my paltry news that I've written down?
Well, I broke a golden rule of mine. I bought a 6-inch phone.
Yes, that's right.
Which I'm nervous about, extremely nervous about. I don't know if I, like, because I always say, I always make fun of people that have, like, the iPhone 6 Plus, is that what they call it?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the Galaxy Notes and stuff, because they just look ridiculous. And my phone broke, so I wanted another phone, and the Nexus 6 went on sale. So I bought it, and now I don't know if I'm going to like it. I'm nervous.
Yeah. I mean, what else would you do if you don't like it?
I would try to sell it or return it and then buy maybe, like, a Sony Xperia Z3 mm-hmm. or... I don't even know. I don't even know what's out there. I haven't been paying attention to stuff in forever.
Yeah. I guess it kind of depends on the prices, too.
Yeah.
I actually think the new Samsung is the first one I'd even consider buying just because they finally redid the outside, but it's still very bland. I'm sure it's a great phone, though.
I don't like the way their like UI looks.
Yeah, I haven't used their skin ever.
It just always looks so boring and like, stupid.
Yeah. I guess you could... root it in a shit, but that takes time and effort, which blows.
Yeah.
So who wants to do stuff?
And the thing is, I should have had it. Well, by the time you hear this, I'll have it. But it went out for delivery on Saturday. And where it left from was pretty far away, like 40 minutes. And the guy, the delivery driver, must have thought it wasn't worth it. So he just rescheduled it for Monday.
There's no way that there was any other packages except yours.
Yeah, that's
not, just that guy was probably like, where the fuck is Johnstown?
Yeah, it doesn't make
any sense. Pennsylvania?
It doesn't make any sense. But like, I was like, because I got the alert. It's like, your package is on delivery. And then I got the other alert. Your package has been rescheduled for Monday, whatever.
Yeah.
8th, 7th.
So, yeah, I can't wait till it doesn't come tomorrow, too. I know. You'll freak out.
Yeah, well, I've been without a phone for like... at least the last, like, 3 days, maybe, because it's just the one I'm using is just tweaking out, and I can't even use it.
Why don't you install Mighty Text on it or whatever?
Because I'm just not home enough, and, like, when I am home, I can just use Hangouts on my computer or my iPad, so it really hasn't been that big a deal.
Yeah, I don't get too many normal texts, but I have to have them just in case, you know.
Really oh, and family. Also, I can't install it unless I could send it from the website to my phone.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. You could just go to the Google Play Store and do it that way.
Because you just can't do anything. Yeah. The only thing it usually does is it calls somebody or it calls my voicemail.
Hey, sometimes you got to call people. Yeah, use up those minutes.
It's the most my phone tweaking out is the most I've ever called somebody.
Yeah, I got a call from you the other day, and I was like, this is definitely not on purpose.
It was like 8:30 in the morning or 9:30.
The only reason I answered it is because it was 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe Spucky's dead. I don't know what's going on.
But I'm excited to have a nice phone again. I mean, my Nexus 5 was nice. I'm still heartbroken that thing just broke the way it did. It deserved better than that.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you actually have a replacement for, we could really try to fuck with it, knowing that if we break it, who cares, you know? I mean, we could probably do that now. Obviously, you've given up on it, so.
Yeah.
What a weird way for it to go, though. I got to say, though, the one thing about it is they weren't made like that. Like, that thing got beat up pretty good.
It did.
Maybe it showed the wear and tear because it was the red version. Maybe you wouldn't have noticed as much in the black version. But, like, my Nexus 4 still looks pretty new.
It does.
You know? Like, I think the build quality was a little bit better on
those. Yeah, definitely. I mean, the plastic on the Nexus 5 was suspect.
Yeah.
But I mean, the screen still looked great.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I never really dropped it, or it's just all that wear and tear. I don't know if it's just the material they used that just wore off my pockets.
That's what it looked like. It didn't look like it cracked. It just looked like worn.
And I had bought the case for it, but the case was a different color, orange or whatever.
Yeah, that was the lamest thing ever.
It was fucking stupid.
I mean,
I hated that.
It sucks because if you had gotten the black case, you probably would have used it more because it looked like it's like wearing like red shorts with an orange shirt. It's like it just doesn't work.
Yeah, you know? And it was like a two-tone color. It didn't even match the case itself. Didn't even match itself.
Yeah, that was fucking lame.
Yeah,
because one of the reasons you got it was because they had that badass red color, or orange, whatever the hell you want to call it, color. But I'm just looking through some. I'm getting ahead of myself, looking through some things that might be coming up. Okay. Yeah. What have I been doing?
You playing any Witcher?
Yeah, I have not. I haven't been playing anything. I still haven't included. I want to install ODST. I want to install is it Phantom Pain? Is that the trailer?
No.
Or
Ground Zero.
Ground Zero. I want to install that and play that. I haven't done that. I got to install all the PSN and Xbox Gold free games just so that they don't go away, you know?
Yeah.
Also, I'm really looking forward to, I Am Bread?
Is that coming out for Xbox? It's
coming out for PS4. So, you know, the motion control shit.
God, well, that's going to be funny.
That's going to be great. It's like Surgeon Simulator Round 2. Is that made by the same people?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I feel like it has to be.
The controls look as shitty and
they look weird. Absolutely. Maybe even more hilarious. We got to try to beat Surgeon Simulator some night too when we get back on.
I
want to
know if the PS4 has the Alien Edition thing on it, or if that was an expansion pass.
I think it was just a hidden level, so I think it's in there. I think it was.
So we have to beat the teeth thing, and then we have to.
Is there another one before or after that?
No, I think that's it for the main surgery. The tooth one's
fucking hard, man.
And then we have to do the alien thing.
I don't remember. I just know it was a hidden level because I remember seeing it online.
God damn.
Yeah, we're gonna have to. We gotta have to twitch some Fibbage too. I actually miss Fibbage now.
Me too.
Kind of got old. We were doing it like four nights a week, but I absolutely miss it now.
I just spent all my time doing Witcher.
Are you charging an e-cig in your Xbox One?
Yep.
I just wanted to make sure.
That's a butt plug.
fuck. It kind of looks like one. Speaking of which.
Oh, you want it? You want it? People to hear it? I don't like people hear it. On the mics?
Where was I going with that? Well, sometimes, you know, they hear us drink, they might as well hear it all.
Yep.
What have I been doing? So I finished, I've been on a bender of reading. I finished.
Nerd.
The Voyager is the best thing I've bought in a long time, man. The Kindle. There's nothing like outstanding about it. Like there's nothing that makes you go like, wow, this changed my reading. It's perfectly backlit. The text is super crisp. It's light and thin and the battery lasts, you know, weeks of heavy reading. And it's something that everyone should get because I love the fact that I plug my phone in and put myself in a place where I can only read. You know what I mean? And I read on my phone all the time, probably too much. The crack screens help me get away from that a little bit. But the problem with that is I'm every like, you know, couple pages, I'm like, what's going on Facebook? Someone just sent me a text, you know, let's go on Instagram. And it really takes away from like the flow of reading. You know what I'm trying to say? So buying that Voyager, dude, that was the best thing ever. And I'll just like the nice part about it is it also, let me just, before I say anything else, if you're looking for a Kindle and you don't really care, get the,
Voyager.
What's the other one?
The Nook.
The paper white.
Paper is that what
it's
white, called?
Because the Voyager's great, but it's not worth the extra money. If it wasn't a gift, I wouldn't have gotten it. But get one of them because it's just, it really, it changes the way that you read. And obviously, the biggest things that are awesome about it are when you go to the beach, you know, if it doesn't like, you ever try reading your iPad on the beach?
No, I think the farthest my iPad's ever got on the house was the porch.
Yeah.
But it just play music and then you cover it up.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's worthless
outside. Yeah, and it doesn't get hot like that. Yeah. But anyway, so where I was going with this was, I mentioned this before, I think I've been reading the Robin Hobb Farseer trilogy. So that was that was one of those books where like it's just like you're supposed to read it, you know. And I don't always like to read those books because I'm afraid they're gonna disappoint. But it was amazing. That original trilogy was amazing. I already talked about that. Then there's a second trilogy that was equally amazing. And now I'm on to the third trilogy, which all the same characters, you know, the ones that make it. I just read book one. Book two comes out in August. So I've caught up to the series. But, like, I'm seven books into this 9-book trilogy of the same cast of characters.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever read a story that doesn't get old like that. You know, like, these are 600-800 page books, and this is the seventh one, and it's still like,
Jesus Christ, seven, that's a lot of fucking pages.
Yeah, it's a crazy amount.
It's and like a Bible.
And I've literally like still dying to find out what happens in the next book. Like, she's just a fucking unbelievable author, and you know she's good because you see her on, like, what I love about goodreads.com is that you get the authors reviewing each other a lot, like the famous authors. So I follow, you know, all the big fantasy authors. And I think it was, I don't know. One of the big authors, I know Rothfuss has reviewed her before. I think it was Mark Lawrence. He came in and he just said, like, I always think I'm getting better at my craft. And then I read a Robin Hobb story and I feel like I'm back in elementary school. And then he goes through like all the reasons it's great. But yeah, I've just like, I've read a couple of these epic trilogies before in fantasy, and very few of them are able to hold up. Like, the reason that Game of Thrones works is because there's 50 characters, you know, but this is not that kind of book. There's like maybe 5 characters, but really 3 of them are very important. So yeah, it's been awesome. But I'm glad that I'm done with that, because I've been on such a fantasy binge that now I'm able to read some other stuff, because I have to wait. And there's like, this summer's a sick summer of releases for fantasy books, but as of now, my mom has been trying to get me to read this book forever called Red Notice. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'll get into it. I just have this huge backlog of books. And I started that, and that book it's a nonfiction book. It's a true story about this guy who he's from this ridiculous family who, his grandfather was like the head of the Communist Party back in the day, and all of his family like went to Stanford and then Harvard Business School, and they're the top person in their profession. It's just like a family of prodigies. And he was like the loser of them, and he wanted to be a capitalist to piss his parents off. So I won't ruin too much, but he ends up like opening up this business in Russia and getting wildly, wildly successful. But then something happens where a friend of his, something happens, and he gets like murdered, and he has to be a spy where he goes in and like pretends to be someone else. And I'm not even sure, because I don't want to read the summary because I want to be surprised. But like, it's this crazy thing where like, just reading about how he built his business is unfucking believable, because it was in like, you know, the wall came down,
yeah,
Russia, like where there's just poverty and like it's dangerous as fuck to be a billionaire there, which I'm assuming he is. But I'm just getting to the part where he's like built his business, and then the shit's going to go bad, because it starts out with him getting detained in a Russian airport after he had already, you know, made it big. And then after that, it doesn't really tell you what happens, and then it goes back to the beginning. So that, I'm telling you, that book is a book that I might be recommending to everybody after I read it.
Sounds cool.
It's great, because it's like, it's so much different than everything that I've been reading, because I've just been on such a fantasy binge. So outside of that, I think that's pretty much what I've been
doing. Are there many female fantasy writers that are any good?
There like are
the major ones,
definitely fantasy authors, but the only one that I've read that's like there's definitely a lot of like young adult fantasy authors, but I'm trying to think if there's anyone other than Robin Hobb.
I don't think I've ever heard of one.
Yeah,
besides like J.K. Rowling or whatever.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that. I'm trying to think if there's anything that I've read recently that's by a female author. I don't think so. But Robin Hobb, she was able to break that stereotype. She is fucking awesome. I might go back and read some of the other stuff she did, but yeah. So, and then after that, I'm going to read some science fiction book that Ben wants me to read. It's just, you know, continue the nerd train.
The world is your oyster.
Exactly. So I've really been reading rather than playing games, but I'd like to fix that at some point. Is anything coming out that I want soon?
I don't know. You're not into Batman, right?
No.
Then probably not.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, Splatoon interests me a little bit, but I know I'll buy it for $60. I'll be like, oh, this is pretty neat, and I'll play it like for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Who was getting us to, was it Tyler Johnson?
No, Eric.
Or was it Eric?
Yeah.
Was he saying that it was really good?
Yeah, he said he really liked it.
Yeah. It looks cool.
I mean, I don't think we ever talked to this But you know that when you join a party and you play with your friends, yes, it switches the teams every game, so you're not playing with your friends the entire time.
Yeah.
And you can't talk to each other.
Nintendo, that's not a feature. That's what we call fuck up. I don't want to hear about how that's... Somebody will come out and be like, well, it's better because I hate when I'm, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's like, are you trying to get people like...
Yeah.
The worst part about that is so if we play like Halo or NHL or like some game that's online team play... That's like that vocal minority of people that's your hardcore fan base who come on and talk it on podcasts and stuff. But like, how many people are just sitting there playing Splatoon by themselves? It takes something away from the game. Yeah. Nobody can deny that.
They said they're going to update it and fix it, but it wouldn't be out till August.
August?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nobody's going to be playing that game in August.
No. That's the problem. It's an online game at its core. I would almost call it online only. I know there's a single player, but if you wait that long, like look at the Halo fan base, which is an established fan base. That game, it takes a while to get a game now. And I think the matchmaking is basically fixed. It's just that there's not that many people online. Splatoon, I mean, you've got only people with Wii U's that bought that game. I mean, you're right. By August, you might not be able to find a fucking party, let alone stay in your party, you know?
Yeah, I don't get it. I've been playing more Witcher. I'm still really loving that.
Yeah.
I've been obsessed with Gwent. I really love Gwent. Like, I don't agree with that IGN article about how Gwent is a better game than Hearthstone and Magic, but...
It's just a stupid thing to say. It doesn't mean that Gwent sucks. It just means that Gwent's not going to be better than a game that has thousands of man hours into it, you know?
I think I would rather play Gwent over both of those. I love Gwent. I think it's so much fun. I love, like, the chess and strategy behind it. See,
my only problem with that comment is that... Gwent, you're playing versus computers.
Yeah, obviously I would like...
You know what I mean?
But I mean, in Hearthstone, you can play against a computer.
True, but I don't.
But you can.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, I guess my point is, I play those games because I like the strategy of thinking what the other person's going to do. And though you can outsmart the computer, but I don't know. Sometimes you wonder, like, did he know that was coming?
Yeah, no, I've had a lot of matches where I like had to do things that outsmart the computer or make them do something that they necessarily didn't want to do. There's a lot of strategy to it. The more you play, the more the better card you get, the more complex it gets. It's so much fun. I love playing Gwent.
Yeah. No, it looks.
I
very
do it.
Cool.
I do it as much as I can.
Yeah. No. I mean, when I'm, I just think that article is laughable because it's a mini game in a game. It's just not like it's just a stupid thing to compare it to. Like you should compare it to. I think a good example would be what was the sport in Final Fantasy X?
I don't remember.
Because that was the water ball. Yeah. Because that was like one of the most fleshed out side things that you could do. But there are people who literally just played that for like years.
That's crazy.
Which I don't think it's that good. But, I think that's the quality that Gwent has is it's the kind of game where it's, you could talk about it and those like all time great. Cause there's not that many games that have like a side thing that's really, really good. You know, like Grand Theft Auto has like a million, but they're pretty shitty.
Yeah.
Nobody goes to golf in Grand Theft Auto that much.
No, I think I played like once.
Yeah. Or like the tennis where you're just basically pressing two
buttons.
Maybe
it was tennis. I don't remember. But I would love to see like a physical thing of Gwent or a mobile Gwent game.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it would be, my first thought was, are they going to release a card game? I don't think that they will, especially because some of the stuff would be really hard to do in a card game. Like when you do like the rain for the front row, like how would you do that? Not that it's not doable, but I think it works really well though as like a mobile app and like a, you know, I think that would be really cool.
There's a lot of math to it too for a physical game. There's a lot. Like I've had games where like you've had like almost 200 points on the board for each team.
Right. Well, I mean, Magic gets totally unwieldy sometimes. Yeah. We're like, look, for example, if you have two guys and then I do something that makes their power go down, well, now you have to show that somehow.
Yeah.
You know,
you could probably use like 20 side die for each thing.
Yeah. It's just, I think it would get a little complicated.
It would.
It'd be interesting too, because I don't know that there's the huge variety of like cards that you could get. And like, you know, there's like five friggin' types of magic and all that stuff. So, but yeah, I think they'd be crazy to leave money on the table and not make a mobile app where you could
love a mobile app for Gwent. It'd be
and
fun.
I think like we talked about, I don't know if we talked about it on the air, but I was saying to you, how great would it be too if it affects your actual, like you can get Gwent cards from the game, but if you open packs in your mobile app, you actually have them in the game too.
Yeah.
But they'd have to do that sooner than later where, you know, people are still playing The Witcher.
Only thing with that is I don't know how many like once you beat somebody, it's really never, it's not worth it to go back and play them again because you get their best card.
So. Right, right. I had a question for you. Oh, what, have you ever had like a companion app that's been useful? I remember we used to I know one that was useful, the Battlefield one, and you know why? Because you couldn't change your spec inside the game. Yeah. Remember that? You had to like exit the game to do it.
I'm trying to think. I know Grand Theft Auto 5 had one for like the dog or something, but I never used that. But everybody said it was okay.
Four? Grand Theft Auto 4?
No, 5.
Oh, really? So
when I was playing story mode, it was telling me to go to like the Apple Store.
Oh, you're right. I do remember that, yeah.
But actually, Fable 2 had a mini game that released on Xbox Live like 2 months before, and it was like a gambling game. And whatever currency you won in that, you carried into the main game, so you can start with money. It was fun. I forget what I don't remember the basics of the game. But
yeah, it seems like such a cool thing to do, to have that companion app, but most of them are just like, look at the same shit that you have in the game, you know, like change the settings, which doesn't really do much. I know we're missing one. Whatever, it doesn't matter.
I don't think I really ever used one.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to see a Gwent one. Anything else going on? Should we get into some news?
Let's
do some news. I think this is the thing we have to lead with. It's the biggest story of the week. Second only to a Half-Life 3 announcement, which would be by far the biggest story of the decade. Fallout 4 showing a trailer before E3, which is very interesting. Stealing all the headlines, maybe a smart marketing move.
Yeah, probably. I mean,
they could have won either way.
Well, I think their thing is like a Sunday night their press conference, so they're probably gonna steal shit anyways.
Yeah, I'm sure they're gonna show more. But so, what did you think?
I have some thoughts. I don't know. Obviously, the game's gonna be great. It looks like Fallout. I mean, they're probably not gonna do anything wrong. But I was a little underwhelmed. I'm one of those people. I was a little underwhelmed by the graphics.
Yeah, there's a large amount of people that feel that way.
I thought the player or the character models were awful. But also, I'm not one of the people that are gonna freak out. I understand the game.
Well, I mean, you're gonna buy the game 100%. Yeah. Let's start out by saying that. So it's not like you're like shitting on the game. I thought the graphics were fine. I thought the models were.
When he goes down and awkward. Like pets the dog and stuff, it looks awful.
It's very cartoony, which I don't hate, but it's almost like a blend of real and cartoony that that's a little bit weird. They do say though, which this is not going to fix the animations of the character, but they do say if you download like the uncompressed video, that it looks a lot better. And they just before we did this, we just pulled up the first 4K screenshot, and it looked pretty awesome.
It did look cool. But also, Bethesda's never been great at character models or graphics.
Right, exactly.
But so that bothered me a little bit.
It's one of those things, though. Wouldn't you like to see them fix that? Because, like, I agree, like, their character models and animations have never been very good. Yeah. But, like, everything else is. So you'd like to see them, like, hey, why don't we just make it really... This is, like, what I always say about Grand Theft Auto. Maybe have good controls, just one of them, you know? They still suck. The games are amazing, but the controls are still not good in those games. They're goofy as fuck.
Yeah. They are. The first-person shooting is tough. That's why they make you use that VAT system, but...
People like third person where you're trying to like lead against a car or something. Third person games
are some of the worst things. Sometimes it looks like they're not even touching the ground.
Right,
it's terrible. They did it in Skyrim. They did it in all those games.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish they'd just make a... I know a lot of people... This is probably sacrilege because I know a lot of people like that option. But I kind of do wish that they would just like pick one and just nail it.
Yeah.
You know? I know what you're saying. You go to third person, you're like, ooh.
Yeah, you run up a hill and your guy's like kind of just in the hill going up the top of it.
So I put this down in the notes because I want to remember... they've confirmed that there is no 360 and PS3 version, and that's big because I think people were worried that the graphics weren't very good because they were going to release it for those systems, but they said, no, that's not the case. And I think we're finally getting to, like, every new generation of consoles runs into that two-year hangover of, like, all the games are still being made for the other consoles as well, you know, the previous generation, and it really fucks the new generation because they're just upscaled versions. So I think we're finally hitting that stride where, like, we're going to see a lot of games, not all of them, but a lot of games that are just next gen, which is big, you know, puts a lot more resources into that because when they first get released, it's like there's a million PS4s and Xbox Ones in the wild, and there's 10 million of the old system, you know, so financially, it's just stupid not to do that.
No, but I don't. It's going to be 2 years about time before this game comes out. It's time to upgrade.
Have they said when it's coming out?
There's been leaks where people have been posting it on like Amazon, like UK and shit like that. It was they were putting it as 2015, and then Bethesda had a thing up on their website. It was TBA 2015, but then they changed it to TBA.
Interesting. That'd be crazy if that came out this year.
It would be.
What was I going to say about that? Did you see the article or the Reddit comment from like a year ago that was like some angry chick that got fired from Bethesda, and she said like, I'm pissed because they fired me for, I can't remember, some stupid reason. She listed like all the shit that was going to happen in Fallout 4. And one of the things she said was it was Boston. Then she said all this stuff. So like, as the info gets confirmed at E3, it's going to be interesting to see if she was correct. She like, it was like a shitload of stuff. So it'll be very obvious if she was full of shit
or
if
she knew what she was talking about. I think a lot of people knew it. Thought, yeah, maybe this from that. But I feel like everybody knew
it. The Boston thing was a common thing. But that was just part of it. There's like 100 things that she says. So like, if she's either right or completely wrong, you know. Yeah, I think we're all excited for it. This is a game that I will probably actually get.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Another problem I had, I don't know if I was expecting more, but I'm okay. Again, I'm okay with it. I didn't want to have to come out of a vault again. Like, I think they do a good job in the trailer towards the end of making it feel like it's more than just somebody coming out of the vault and exploring like new world.
I know what you're saying.
It's like, it's almost like it's almost like a war kind of like drama. It seems really cool, but like I said, I'll play it, but I've already done that before twice.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a teaser trailer. We don't know shit about it yet. So I think after E3, we'll be able to say, like, this looks cool or this looks like a rehash of Fallout 3. They've taken a long time with it, which gives me hopes that they, you know, really. I mean, it's going to be good. There's no doubt about that. But is it going to be amazing? That's, you know, because, like, this type of game we have much higher hopes for than, you know, Tony Hawk 5. I just hope is really good.
Yeah.
But Fallout 4 has got to, you know, it's got the story. It's really got to impress. And
I like how they added color to it.
Yes, me too. I'm so sick of seeing the fucking, and it works for obvious reasons because it's a post-apocalyptic and all that shit. But the grays and the browns,
The browns. The first two are just green, gray, brown. That's all they are.
It's tough, man. It's like palette destroying. That's my only, my biggest knock on Bloodborne is that the palette in it is just it fits the game perfectly, but it's just fucking dark and boring. You know. Graphics are cool, but it's the same idea. It's just a bunch of grays. And
but I did want to bring up is that the whole argument of, now I don't know where I stand on this. I'm probably, like, with me, if a game's good, I really don't care what it looks like. But there's this argument going around that people are defending this game. They're saying the graphics don't matter. It's going to be a great game.
You're talking about Fallout 4.
Yeah, because of like how big it's going to be and everything to do. My argument is it kind of does now because The Witcher 3 is probably bigger.
Right.
And pretty.
I bet you
it's got a hell of a story to it. Like, they're kind of like, even though one's third person, one's first person, they're kind of the same open world RPG.
Right.
And The Witcher is so good and so pretty. And they really need to step up the shit. You can't be like, oh, we're just Fallout. This is the way we look. Accept it.
I totally agree with that. I do think that Fallout 4 has a chance of looking really good. I think the animations might be shoddy, but like that 4K screenshot looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously that's probably running on a $10,000 computer, but I think that somebody wrote an article that to that point a little bit. They said The Witcher 3 changes what's expected out of these games now. You can't just have a barren landscape.
I just don't want Bethesda to be like, well, we're the best at this. This is how we do it. I want them to like
challenge themselves.
Yeah, be better. Because Skyrim, a lot of parts of Skyrim were pretty. But they also have major, like, I know Witcher's not a perfect game, but these last three games had major technical problems.
Yes. Bethesda's not afraid of having hilarious glitches.
Yeah, so.
Well, somebody was saying, too, they're like, well, why isn't everyone shitting on The Witcher 3? Assassin's Creed had all these problems, and everybody shit on it. Well, I'll tell you why. Because The Witcher 3 is about 50 times bigger than Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed's a 200-hour game.
Right. No one's excusing the glitches in Witcher 3, but, like, come on. You can't compare those two games.
I've probably played 130 hours of Witcher. Maybe not that much. Well, over 100, but I've had the game freeze once.
Right. That's pretty good, considering Battlefield froze up before I even installed it.
I couldn't tell if I was affected by the XP thing. I think maybe I was.
Yeah. I mean, like the thing is, you weren't doing a lot of the main missions, so
I wasn't really missing
it's hard to gauge. Because I think that was what it was majorly tied into the main missions, because that's where you get like the big chunks.
But I was definitely getting XP from everything else I did.
So. Right.
And the missions, the side missions in The Witcher contracts, stuff I was doing, I was getting XP.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very excited to see Fallout 4 at E3, because if they release this teaser trailer early, you know that they're going to have a bunch of stuff to show, or they wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
You know, they would have released it at E3. Awesome. So I hope, like you said, I hope they have a little bit of a curveball to this.
Uh-huh.
You know, a little bit of a
yeah.
Different look at it.
Because I'm excited. Like, it's probably my most anticipated game of this year or next year or whatever it's going to be. But after playing The Witcher 3, it just makes me want or expect like a certain standard, and
yeah.
That's what I want from Fallout 4.
Yeah, it'll be cool. I'm very excited to see it, and it's great to have games like Witcher 3, you know, push that envelope.
Yeah, I mean, they absolutely did. I mean, the only person I could see like competing with the way Witcher 3 is Rockstar on the next GTA or next Red Dead,
right?
Doing yeah. something crazy, big, beautiful.
Yeah, and it goes to show too, like not every studio is going to do this, because studios like EA, the board expects profits immediately, so they release games every year and they put two developers on it. But like taking your time, number one, and you know, like Blizzard does, and number two, having a relatively small team. So, like The Witcher 3, it's not like it had like a group of five people. There's probably yeah. hundreds of people, but like I think it was from what I read, it was like a relatively small team for what that game is. And it's like I was saying last week, I would love to see a documentary a la what they did with the Double Fine one, because how do you collaborate as a pretty big team, but still relatively small? But like, how do you collaborate? Or like, if you're in charge of, like, no way every one person made that world of like decided where stuff was going to be and stuff. So like, if you're making a town and I'm making a town that's just like these villages, but the interconnecting stories that go in between them, like that must have been so hard. Like, did they have a big like flow sheet that they worked with, or was one person in charge of that?
It's like,
or they
one just... of those murder maps, the yarn and the
right. That's exactly what I pictured. Yeah,
the pens.
Yeah, that'd be great if that's actually how they did it.
It's just like a massive spider web.
Right, it's like a fucking an entire side of a house. That's what it would probably look like, you know. Yeah. I would be fascinated to see that. And I think that making a video game is just really interesting. It's like you get all of the stuff of like writing a book, you know, like the story elements, but you also have to have the visual elements and the audio elements, and everybody brings stuff together while you're losing team members and adding team members. And, I still think you need to watch that Double Fine documentary after The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
What'd you get through with that?
Yeah. I just hope that like The Witcher or Fallout 4, I just hope it has some of the complexity of the quest that, and the detail of the quest that The Witcher 3 has.
Yeah, was Fallout, because I've never really played, I played Fallout 3 a little bit. Does it have, like, a lot of side quests and stuff? Is that...
It does, but they're nothing, like, crazy. It's like, do this for this guy, do this for that guy, and then every now and then there might be some kind of decision that affects, like, one side of the battle.
Right.
But it's nothing like...
And to be fair... We're not saying that Fallout 4 has to be Witcher 3.
No.
They could be two totally different games. But if you're going to make a game these days that's a quote-unquote open-world game, there's got to be shit to do. That's the point.
And Witcher 3 has changed that. Like,
yeah.
The way the missions intertwine with each other and change closed doors, open doors.
Because otherwise, it's not an open-world game.
No,
you know what
not.
I mean? If you're just doing the main storyline, and yeah, you can wander where you want and, you know, kill 10 coyotes for some guy, like, but it's, and there's nothing wrong with that necessarily, but the thing is, there's a different level of expectations for a game like Fallout 4, for a game like The Witcher 3, for a game like Grand Theft Auto. Like, these games have a much higher bar to clear. You know, we wouldn't be saying this if it was, you know, some game from a mediocre studio, whatever, but like, this is Bethesda, you know. Yep. and
they're the best. They still probably are the best open world RPG person.
Well, they were,
yeah,
until proven, you know.
I haven't
played The Witcher enough to say that it's better than their games, but from what everyone says, it's better.
I wonder if there's a crossover. I wonder if like the average Fallout person is interested in The Witcher. I wonder if the average Fallout person is interested in Skyrim.
I think so, because I think Bethesda fans are Bethesda fans. Okay. And if you like Skyrim, you're definitely going to like The Witcher. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah,
that's my thought process. I don't know if that's true.
Because I'm worried that a lot of people just think Fallout is like an open world, like first-person shooter. Like
it's a shooter rather than...
It's not. I mean, the VAT system...
It's Skyrim in a different setting.
The VAT system's cool, the shooting people, but...
Yeah. I'm actually very... excited about that game, especially because as someone who hasn't really played, like, I only played a little bit. I got out of the vault and I did some stuff, and it was cool. I think the reason I stopped playing was because, number one, I wasn't playing games at the time. That was in New York when I really wasn't playing anything, and I think it torched my computer a little bit at that point, so it was like I had to dial the graphics down, which was just annoying. my poor Alienware left it in my apartment for my nice Mexican super who took our couch out too. God bless him.
Nice.
We called him up. Me and Nick spent an hour trying to get this fucking, we had like an 8-foot leather couch that was Dan's ex-girlfriend's, and we had paid our super and his partner to put it in, which our super totally took like 3/4 of that, never told the other guy what we were paying him, but that's a whole other story. And they got it in, they had to take the feet off. I don't know how the fuck they did it, dude. This thing was huge, and our hallway was really narrow, so like to get into our apartment from the hallway, you had to like, he had to open the door next door or whatever. Me and Nick thought we knew what he did. We took the feet off, we tried to move it out, knocked on our neighbor's door, they opened it for us. And by the way, our neighbor was this girl who was a personal trainer, pretty attractive. She had boyfriends the first year she lived with us, and then the second year, or across from us, the second year, she had girlfriends.
Nice.
So she did a switcheroo while we knew her. And we talked to her all the time.
The old switch up.
And we had another person who was must have been like subletting their apartment, like Airbnb style. And it was this French, like this group of French people. And they must have had like 15 people in there at a time. It must have been like students from France or something, which is totally, you're not supposed to do that. And she knocked on their door one day and said, "I will fucking kill you." And that was when we were like, we fucking love this girl. She was great. But anyway, yeah, so we called up the super. We said, "Hey, we'll leave you this couch for free if you guys can get it out." And he said, "Sure." So we really fucked him. But we were like, because it was a nice couch, you know. But anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. Just really made me think of all that. But yeah, so I've played Fallout 3, but the point is I won't have any like fatigue from playing Fallout because I've never played one before.
It's
so
been a long time.
And it has been anyway, because I mean, was Fallout 3 when I was in New York? That sounds right.
I think they said 2007, 2008.
Yeah, because that was the first year I was in New York. Yeah. So that sounds right.
Because Bethesda didn't make Vegas,
right? So was that after Fallout 3?
Yes, okay. It was like 2 years after.
And that was all that came off the consoles too.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on Fallout 4?
No, I just hope it's good. I mean, it's going to be good. I just hope it. I want to see something that blows our mind.
Yeah, me too.
The only really cool thing I took away from the trailer was the colors, and
yeah, I am excited for that. It seemed like it looked like
there was going to be a cool story, except for the lame part of starting off in a vault.
Yeah, what? I don't even remember that in the trailer. They show that you're going to start from a vault.
He's wearing like the vault. I think it said vault like 111. He's wearing like a vault 111 jumpsuit. So I assume at one point. He was in there.
Well, even if they do the vault, which I get because ultimately the idea is that there's a nuclear fallout, whatever. Yeah. But even if they do that, they should give more story into it. That would be cool. You know what would be cool? This is going to sound lame, depending on how big the vault was. Have like the first 3 hours be in the vault, learn about the people, and because that doesn't really happen normally, does it?
They did that a little bit in Fallout 3. It's like your tutorial.
Yeah, but I'm saying like meet a bunch of people in the vault, like see how people are living, the strife and everything, and then like when everyone disperses, you end up seeing those people again. That would be kind of a cool way to do it, cool. I think, you know, like the evil motherfuckers and whatever.
That'd be good.
So I just put this on here because I just want to mention it briefly. Game of Thrones, you're not watching because you're still reading book 5 and you don't want anything to get ruined, which I totally understand, but holy shit, was the last episode good.
Good.
It was, first of all, it's 1 hour and 10 minutes, which you always know, like when HBO show has like 10 extra minutes, you know it's going to be like a big time. One of the coolest things they did, without spoiling anything, is there's a scene in the books that they talk about as had happened. They say something to the effect of like, you should have seen what happened in the town of blah, blah, blah. You know, it was a bloodbath, or like they just talk about like something as of happening. Well, they show the actual scene.
That's cool.
So it's kind of like extra. So it's not like they changed the story. It's just they showed something that happened. And it's not just that, because there's dialogue between two characters that have never met before. And there's, what else was the really cool thing? Oh, there's the whole Queen Cersei thing. Where let's just say shit goes bad for her, which you've already read about that.
She do the naked walk?
Spoiler free, dog.
Well, I knew she's gonna do it.
No, not for you. I mean for everybody else.
They don't know what that means.
It's coming. But that whole scene I thought was really cool in the book.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite parts of the book.
Yeah, so like that. There's just a lot of cool shit that goes on in this one episode. The last one was like a setup for it. It was still pretty good, but. I'm excited to see the next one because, boy, it was good. And I don't think they've gotten past book 5 yet, so once you do read book 5, you'll be able to at least catch up to this point. But I'm a little bit nervous with the last two episodes. I'm nervous they're going to, like, as a wow factor, they're going to show something that hasn't happened. So I'll probably still watch, and we'll see ya. So anyway, Dark Souls 3 screenshots appeared and apparently confirmed. It seems like people are treating this rumor as fact. Is that what you've seen, too?
Yeah, I saw that, too.
Yeah.
It looks pretty legit.
This is the guy who made Bloodborne too, right? Like this is like the main guy.
Yeah, is that it what like they were saying? Studio?
I'm not sure. I don't understand.
How does it work?
Yeah.
It seems like he's very busy.
Yeah, because it seems like Dark Souls, if that's true, I mean, this game must have been under development for a while. Just start it, says Bloodborne, you know?
Yeah, you would assume that Bloodborne was under production when Dark Souls 2 was going, and then...
Yeah, he must be like a team leader for multiple projects. It looks really cool. I mean, it looks like Dark Souls 2 in high def, you know? The graphics look a lot better, though, because Dark Souls graphics always sucked.
Now, since you've played Bloodborne, would you ever try a Dark Souls game?
It's a good question. I told you this before, like when I was playing Bloodborne, I had a week to myself to do nothing. And I think that's one of the reasons that I enjoyed it. I didn't have to wake up for anything. I was, you know, I would play till 2 a.m. And I thought it was really like a new experience I hadn't had before. But I tried to play it the other night and I was just like, I got to work in the morning and it's just stressful and I don't need, like, it's so not a relaxing game. You know what I mean? Like you can play The Witcher to relax. This is like the opposite of that. So I don't know. Yeah. I think I might, cause I've heard that people really like Dark Souls. Anyone hates when they change stuff. I'm a Dark Souls fan. So Bloodborne has to suck kind of thing. But I think it's like the slower pace, you can block stuff like that. It makes it a little interesting, but yeah, the quirks in those games, they're really neat, but like, I feel like I'll get old. Like, oh wow, that's really funny that I walked down that hallway and the guy knocked me off the ledge. Now I have to walk 20 minutes back. Like that doesn't sound that fun to me. So I don't know. I'd like to see, like, are they going to just do Dark Souls 3 where it's literally the next Dark Souls 2, but higher graphics and everything? Are they going to really change it up?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know what the difference was between Dark Souls 1 and Dark Souls 2.
Me neither.
They seem to pump these things out pretty quick, so it makes you wonder what they're really doing.
Right. I think the reason they probably won't change it too much, it'll probably be easier than Dark Souls 2. I only say that because I think they want to cash in on the success of Bloodborne, which Bloodborne was like the perfect storm of, it's the only AAA game for PS4 that came out in a long span of time, exclusive, and it's got such a hype, like an underground hype type thing, that I think that it was like the perfect storm where people were like, well, I have a PS4. I need a game. I'm just going to get it. You know, and like people who would never play Dark Souls bought Bloodborne. So I think maybe they're trying to like, you know, get that going. But it'd be nice, you know, for people who have only an Xbox One that didn't get to play Bloodborne. Now you've got a next gen or current gen. I got to stop calling it next gen now. Dark Souls experience, which is cool. Because I mean, Bloodborne is Dark Souls 2.5. I mean, it's totally a Dark Souls game for everything that I've read.
Oh, definitely.
But yeah, they really haven't really showed much on it. Screenshots look cool though. I don't know.
I thought those games always kind of look cool.
Yeah.
I like the art style. It's one thing that studio is not lacking is art style.
Yeah. That's it. Like the Bloodborne goes more like gothic and it's like I said, like I don't like the color palette, but the graphics or the art style is fucking awesome. It's
really cool.
It's like all these soaring, you know, Notre Dame type, cathedrals and shit. That's really all I have to say on that. I just included this because I know it's your favorite thing in the world.
Yeah, I saw this.
They posted the Video Game Hall of Fame winners, which if you listen to the podcast, you know we just took a huge shit on for like 10 minutes.
Stupid. It's such a fucking mixed bag of just dumb shit.
Well, the winners were Doom, Pac-Man, Pong, Super Mario Brothers, Tetris, and World of Warcraft. And I mean, you can't argue with any of those games.
No, I think they're good.
But it's just, the whole thing that we were saying is it's like all of the nominees are going to get into the Hall of Fame. So this is just the dumbest thing ever.
It really is.
Like we were talking about, what would be cool is if they had a Hall of Fame for video games where it was like the makers, you know, like, because then you could get, you know, Miyamoto up there talking about stuff. That would, you know, a la NFL Hall of Fame or whatever. But instead it's like you're just gonna claim to be like the official Hall of Fame for video games. Like who the fuck cares what you think?
I know, we should come out with them, the official.
We should make one and just make like the biggest piece of we should make the Razzies of the Hall of Fame. We'll just pick the biggest piece of shit games.
We should have done the Razzies.
That'd be great.
I just think there's too many games out there.
We could do the Razzies for every year. We start doing it now. We have to wait for December, but spoiler alert, the order's going to be on there if we do.
And we're also not going to play all these games. We're just going
to... That's true. That's true. We could. The nice part about shit games, though, is a lot of times you can get them for really cheap.
Yeah.
You know, which is something that we did a good job with. Surgeon Simulator's got to be the best deal that we've ever got.
90 cents.
90 cents.
That was a great game.
We've gotten hours of fun out of that game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I got nothing else. If you could pick one game to be in the Video Game Hall of Fame, what would it be?
What's your three?
It's a good answer.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
All right, fair enough. You think it's already Hall of Fame type material?
Yeah, unless something starts changing where more people have problems with it, but I think like that is over with. There was a new patch for both PC and PS4, and Xbox One's coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I really haven't had that many problems. I know like frame rate hitches every now and then, but it's never happened to me during combat. It's happened to me like walking, and you don't know what they're loading behind you, so you know there could be loading the world still while you're walking around. So sometimes that stuff happens.
Right.
But I haven't had anything that has changed the game for me.
Yeah, you know, that just reminded me. I'm actually excited not to see anything to do with the Steam boxes, but I really want to try that controller out.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really interesting. And just see if you can not only play first-person shooters, but also play, you know, like, I doubt Dota, it's too fast, but some sort of, like, strategy game. I think it'd be really, like, any sort of mouse game, it'd be really interesting to see if you could really do it with that controller.
Oh, speaking of Dota, I would like to see League and Dota go in together.
What do you mean, going together?
The Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Because I don't think one's better than the other.
You know what? I'll tell you why I don't agree. Because League of Legends is just a straight rip of everything that's Dota. To the point where I think did I tell you about this on the podcast? There's the Fame at Reddit thing where they actually... It was a forum and they deleted it. But it was like they would go, okay, let's pick this character from Dota. How can we make that a League of Legends character? Literally, like, that bad. It was like... But everybody loves League of Legends.
Yeah, it's the most popular game in the world, right?
Yeah, I think it does get more play than Dota, right? I wonder if it's any easier. Because the thing with Dota is, like, there are people, you know, that we know that, like, there's no way Chad's going to pick up Dota and fucking learn it. Like, there's just, this learning curve is stupid steep in that game.
I don't know how we're always getting intimidated by the fact that you have to buy your heroes. So.
Yeah.
That seems weird.
It does seem weird. And you have to. Like, do you know if there's any in-game currency or anything that you can earn?
I don't know. I imagine there is with games like that.
The scary part about buying heroes is I'm stealing this from somebody else, but they said if you release a new League of Legends hero, this always happens. They're totally overpowered. You spend the money to buy it, and then they patch them back to make them, you know, mediocre or whatever. And it's like it's just like when you give incentive to making a new hero better than it should be, it's a dangerous, you know what I'm trying to say? It's a dangerous thing to do. So, but I'm not trying to shit on League of Legends, but I just think that it's, creatively, it is a straight rip. That's all I'm saying.
I think if we're gonna shit on a MOBA, it should be Heroes of the Storm.
Yes,
people are saying it's the worst Blizzard game ever.
I'm glad that the reviews are coming out that are bad, because dude, when I played that game, I was like, like I said before, it's like you can't take away the hardcoreness of Dota and League of Legends, or you leave yourself with a mediocre game. Yeah. That's my problem. Like, it's not like you can take like Magic the Gathering, if you make that more mainstream, Hearthstone's still a good game. But the hardcoreness of Magic is not what makes it great. You know what I mean? It's just the strategy in the card game. Dota, if you take that and you water it down, you get Heroes of the Storm. That's a bad thing.
I've heard some weird stories come out of that game. Like, I guess you have to be like a level 30 or something like that to start playing ranked games, and you have to have a certain amount of heroes purchased.
Yeah, well, that's classic. And
you can earn like in gold currency to buy them, but there's also been like when you're picking teams, there's bans, and there's been instances where like if I was level 30,
it bans
all the characters I have available, so you get kicked out of the game.
That's amazing. Yeah, if that's true. That's just shitty programming by them.
Like,
that's
you don't terrible. Have an extra character, like if they just ban a certain amount,
right? Or, I mean, what they should do there is they should allow you to use a different one or something. But even then, it's like you haven't practiced with them.
Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't...
sound good for that game.
And I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it so like people are good enough to play online, to reduce the whatever, but that game just doesn't do it for me. There's none of that. Like, you know that feeling of when you go in for a kill in Dota? It's fucking like a big risk every time. It's like scary. Like, that just... It's so easy to escape in that game, and I don't know. I could go on forever. It's not a terrible game, but for Blizzard standards, it's a terrible game.
Yeah.
You know, you expect them to release AAA shit. I hope that, is it Overwatch?
Yeah.
Is that their new third person, like Team Fortress? I hope that's cool. That looks really cool.
Yeah.
I hope that's good. It's just a weird departure for Blizzard, who's really strategy games. That's what they make their, you know, bones on. So I'm not excited at all to see what's going on with Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, me either.
I'm excited to see the new StarCraft expansion though. I'm assuming they'll show that.
I could care less about Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, don't care. Should we get into some email?
Yeah, do it.
This email.
And if you guys want to be part of the show, you can email us at 8bitbourbon@gmail.com.
Yeah, we've done a terrible job about doing this, but we would like, this is one of our favorite things to do, is get emails, field emails, and talk about what people want to talk about. So this is from Chris Daly, and he has to say, I'll just read the whole thing, then we'll talk about it. He said, because we talked about Gears of War either last week or the week before, he said, I'm writing in to share my thoughts on why I think Gears of War differentiates itself from other AAA shooters, specifically back in the late 2000s when I was able to play games more often. With the competition at the time being Halo 3 and Call of Duty 4, Gears of War offered something different. Its mechanics felt loose and imprecise, sometimes leaving the player with only the option of using the cover system and firing inaccurately towards the opponent. And then these standoffs occurred with two opponents blind firing across a room with aiming crosshairs that are almost useless. These firefights left a giant margin for error when getting each kill. I prefer Halo over those games anyway, but I just wanted to write in because I enjoy your content. Also, my gamer tag is blank because I don't know if he wants to share that with everybody, but if you're playing Halo the Master Chief Collection, we'll definitely add you on that.
Yeah.
I'd like to get back into that. Thanks for the podcast. Well, thank you for writing in.
Yeah, we appreciate it. I'm with him on this. I always thought the shooting and stuff in Gears was so bad.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. You know what it reminds me of is Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Like the circle cursor and, but he's right. I mean, it did differentiate itself. It didn't try to say like, hey, we're going to make the best first person shooter. Cause there was no space with Call of Duty and Halo 3. There's just no beating those games.
What I used to always try to do in Gears, I would just like, if people are shooting at each other, just try to flank them and like chainsaw them. That's all I tried to do. Or get up close and shotgun or.
Right.
What was that arrow gun?
You
shoot them with the bullet tip arrow.
It would stick in them and you could
arc it and shit.
Yep. And you had to like charge it slowly, right? And the thing would go from curve to straight. Yep. I mean, I thought those games were really, my favorite part of those games, I don't know if I said this on the podcast, was like how heavy your guys felt. You'd like slam into the wall when you hit A, and like when you sprint, it felt like you were like, you know, like a 300 pound.
You couldn't really turn the camera accurately when you were sprinting, and
it made you like look straight. Yeah. Those games are cool. I'm actually very excited to see what they do with Gears of War. What would it be? 4? Would that be the new one?
I don't think they count Judgment as a number.
Yeah. My biggest problem with those games is me and Nick, when I was in New York, we bought this, I think 2 and maybe 3 as well, maybe 1 and 2, doesn't matter. We get like 3/4 away through the game though and just give up. Like, we'd really enjoy it, but at some point it would get kind of old, you know?
I like the Horde mode in 2.
Horde mode, I think it's the best Horde mode that I've ever played in a video game. Like, whatever you call, I think that's called the Horde mode now in all games.
Did you ever play Firefight in ODST?
Yes.
Did you know they didn't put that in?
I didn't know that. No.
Yeah, it's not in there.
Oh, that kind of sucks. That was fun.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I never tried it.
I don't think it was quite as good as the Gears of War one, but it was definitely fun. It's cool to like get with a team and strategize and all that stuff.
I can get behind some Horde mode. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fun way to play with your friends too, and not have to have like the hyper competitiveness of online. Yeah. You know, it's more like a relaxing mode. Well, thanks for writing in, and we'll have a lot more thoughts when. They show, I'm just assuming they're going to show the next gen Gears of War. They haven't confirmed that though, have they?
No, but I think it's certain.
They can't just show a Gears of War remaster. Yeah, that would be so lame.
Do you see Black Tusk change their name? Mm-mm. To Coalition Studios or something like that?
Oh, really?
Something like that. Yeah, they're no longer Black Tusk.
Interesting. I really like the name Black Tusk.
They are like the whatever, what do you even call it? They're the 343 of Gears of War now.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but I know they changed their name.
They had like a press release that pretty much just all confirms that they're going to be doing nothing but Gears of War.
Did they ever announce what the game was that they were working on before they bought the Gears of War franchise?
I don't know.
Because that'd be really interesting. Because they were working on like a new first-party exclusive. I really like the name Black Tusk. I wish they didn't change that.
I think it's Coalition or something like that.
So we got some Reddit stuff, too. Do you want me to read this whole thing?
Yeah, I don't care.
Or do you want to?
I don't want to read it. Okay. I can barely see with my pop filter on.
All right, this is from Kamenon. I'm just going to read this quick, and then we'll chat about it. All right, there are two games everyone should think of when it comes to console gaming in regards to first-person shooters. I'm talking about Battlefield and Call of Duty. I've never been a fan of either, but I give them a chance. For me, it's all about single-player, and I know that's weird, but whatever, that's me. Since I'm not an avid fan, I don't know if I'm really reaching by coming to the conclusion that the genre has run its course and is coming to an end. I'm not talking about how the two franchises are running their own series into the ground, but that's basically the idea. The whole genre is run down. Haven't you guys noticed? As more avid multiplayer gamers than me, what do you think about the future of the genre? Is Halo going to end up being the be-all, end-all first-person shooter game? Gaming in general has come so far because of how first-person shooter games had to innovate and compete. Is this all they had to offer? Remember games before the modern FPS? Control sucked, but the FPS brought what feels like unity to the control scheme in all genres. Think of how GTA evolved, and I think it's based on FPS innovation. Gears of War essentially was an FPS minus the perspective. I wonder which genre is going to be on the cutting edge of trends next, or will it remain the FPS? Apologies for the rambling. In the spirit of the show, I'm drunk. Which is a great ending to that.
I think the genre's run down. Down for me since probably around like Modern Warfare 2 or Black Ops. So I haven't played a single player campaign of any kind of first person shooter like to finish it. Like I got tired with Far Cry series. I don't even know which ones I would go after.
I think there's a couple things here. I think definitely the innovation came to a screeching halt. I actually like what Destiny tried to do. That obviously they didn't deliver, but at least they took a shot. But I also think a big part of it is especially the time he's talking about. Mm-hmm. There was just a saturation of first-person shooters. I mean, every fucking new game was a first-person shooter.
I have to say, a lot of people really love that new Wolfenstein game. A single-player, first-person shooter. That got a lot of high praise.
That's a good point because there's not a lot of games these days that put the focus on the single-player. Yeah, true.
You should check that one out.
That's true. That actually game is like, this is a single-player game. But it might have multiplayer too, but that's not the
focus. It goes back to that genre being run down from... Like ruined for me. I have no interest in playing Castlevania. Like, but a lot of people seem to love it.
So. You mean,
Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein, yeah. I know exactly where you're coming from, especially as a single player gamer, because I mean, I think Battlefield 4 was a great multiplayer game. I think, Halo 5 is definitely going to be a great multiplayer game. Halo 4 single player was pretty good. I think you should check that out if you're a Halo fan. But yeah, I mean, I think what you're kind of looking for is maybe more like the Far Cry game, which is mm-hmm. kind of cheating a little bit, but that is a single player focused first person shooter. Yep. So maybe that's what you're looking for. I definitely think that there's a lot of, I think that the problem is that in your mind that the games are run down or whatever. And I totally, understand that and somewhat agree with it, but then you've got, 6 billion people buying Call of Duty and Halo. So like shit doesn't change until the market changes. And especially Call of Duty. I mean, that game could release a turd and people
buy it. I mean, that goes to the next question. What do you think the future of genre is? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I don't think it's oversaturated because I think it's really hard to make those games and be successful at those games. But in the same way, Call of Duty games, people are getting tired of them like they got tired of Guitar Hero and Rock Band. Seeing the same thing every year.
Right.
Call of Duties don't sell as well as they do, but they still sell an unbelievable amount. Mm-hmm. Halo's going to sell fantastically.
Yeah, I think maybe you need to... I mean, he's talking more single player, so I think that the biggest problem is that these multiplayer games, they are the focus of people, so they're just not putting the budget into single player. Mm-hmm. And I think even in multiplayer, there's a lot... Like, I like the fact that Halo's going more arena. But I'd like to see like a real like game focus on like a strategy multiplayer where, you know, like the original Unreal Tournament was twitchy for sure, but it felt like a lot of strategy to get that flag back to your base, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, maybe something like that would be neat. I don't know.
Halo seems to have the strategy of going for the competitive market.
Right.
So
yeah, they want the hardcore like Call of Duty arena.
I know people play them in tournaments, but I don't think Call of Duty is designed a game specifically for that.
No. Yeah. I would agree. I think that you know, still to this day, Halo is the ultimate like console at least, like tournament professional gaming game or whatever.
And I don't feel that Halo is going to be the end all. Be-all FPS game?
No.
Because I think if the end-all be-all has to probably be a cross-platform game.
Yeah, that's also true, right? It doesn't solve the problem if it's just one system. Yeah. Although that's not their fault.
And you know what? Like, I think, don't take this the wrong way, but I think a lot of people that aren't good at Halo aren't going to take the time to try to be good at Halo, because Halo is a totally different game than what Call of Duty is. Like,
yeah.
If you're an average first-person shooter game, you're going to be good at Call of Duty. If you're below average, first person shooter, you're not going to play Halo at all.
Yeah, Halo is really frustrating if you're not good at it.
It's more fun to lose in Call of Duty than it is Halo. Yes,
I would agree with that. Call of Duty carves out a niche for people who can still affect the game and not be that great at it. Where Halo, it's like you're just fodder, you know. And it's like I used to play with my brothers who, you know, they only played a little bit, but like, I mean, going 1-19 is really not fun. Mm-hmm. It just blows,
especially now with like the perfect kill and stuff in Halo 5. It's tough. Like, you got to learn how to move. And if you're not moving right or putting the right hits, the game's not going
to
be fun.
Yeah. I wonder, too, to that point, I wonder if that's why they're putting, like, it seems like 343 is putting a lot of, like, effort into the single player, maybe to pull in the more casual gamers, you know? And then there's also a comment on this. I haven't read it yet, so I'm just going to read it out loud. hopefully there's not N-words peppered into it. Amplio Decided said, I think the divide is growing between two factions. The people who commit serious time and energy to learning how to be good at the game. Well, that's perfect, kind of what we're talking about. And the people who don't. And in the don't category, and this is causing me to become less attracted to shooters. Everyone else is so good, and I'm just not anymore. I'm super competitive, and the idea of getting my ass stomped by 12 to 15-year-olds at something I used to be great at kills me. I tend to avoid the inevitable rage of getting schooled by more skilled players, which is most players. I don't feel like I'm alone in this category. That's great, because I didn't even read that. That's exactly what we were just talking about.
What?
Which is true, and honestly, like, even like what you're saying, or you being aptly undecided, it's not even about being good. It's like, can you put the time in anymore?
Yeah.
You know? Because, I mean, you're not going to be who's a got kid time who to plays...
like 100 hours from the
game. That's true. Yeah, well, I guess it's not just the time, but it's also, do you want to put the time in? You know, it's not like anybody picks up Halo and they're the best player ever. They play hundreds of hours, you know? Obviously, some people are better than some people, but there's definitely that, like, it's really hard to just... like, you're not just going to sit down casually and be really good at Halo.
Yeah,
it's just not gonna happen. You know, that's more of like, you could still be competitive online, maybe in a game like NHL or like something that kind of fits that strategy, but like the ultimate of twitchy games is you have to put the time in.
But I think another way to counter it, even without putting serious time, is finding a group of people that you enjoy playing with and playing with them, because losing and winning is better that way.
Yes, that is true.
You know, losing with strangers just takes you out of the game. At least if you have a team, then you can have some kind of fun, or you can, you don't have to be the best every single time, or you don't have to be, you can be bad together or good together.
Yeah. And to that point, I think that they need to do a better job in all games with matchmaking. I think they're so worried about speed of matchmaking, especially because of the Master Chief Collection disaster and all the other stuff. But I think for people like, you know, there could be, you know, categories where it's just casual and you end up playing versus people that aren't, like Halo 2, I thought did that really well. The matchmaking in that game was like, if you weren't very good, you got matched up with people that weren't that great. And that's key, because what else does that? StarCraft, I think, is pretty good about that. Like, you play... No, actually, that's not true. I take that back. There have been games where, like, I know, like, they match you up in a really intelligent way, but you have to have the fan base to do it. Otherwise, the matchmaking will take forever.
Yeah.
And I do think that there's, like... similar thing that I was saying before, I think a more focused strategy game, which is meaning like capture the flag type stuff, that carves out a niche for people who want to do, like, could still affect the game, but don't have to be the best at it, you know? So you might be a really good protector of the flag, or maybe you go around and do some objectives to keep your team in it, where you don't just need to, you know, go 20-2 to have a good game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, there's, you know, there's got to be work on it, because people want the casual gamers. Mm-hmm. That's big, you know? I mean, I think that's why Call of Duty is so wildly successful. But even Call of Duty took a hit in Ghosts, right?
It didn't sell that well. The last two, I think, have taken
Advanced, hits. I don't know. Did Advanced War not sell very well?
I think it's sold better in Ghosts, but I don't think it's up there like where they used to be.
Right.
And I think the new one looks like garbage.
That trailer was the weakest trailer I've ever seen. And I thought Advanced War kind of sucked.
I thought it was
sucked as strong, but it was not good.
So worst one I ever played. The only one I've missed was Ghost.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we both agree, like, it felt like a cheap ripoff of the stuff they were doing with Halo 5. Mm-hmm. Not that Halo 5 invented that stuff, that, but
Titanfall.
Like Titanfall. Right. It just felt like it just didn't fit the game. Like, you could tell that Call of Duty is used to a more plotting thing, which is why it's a great game. And they try to just crowbar in this like fast paced, twitchy movement, and I don't know. It just, it's
one of the best things about Titanfall is when you were jumping or running a wall, you were still able to move your gun around and accurately shoot at somebody. Or
right, it felt intuitive.
You start jumping around in Advanced Warfare, you can't hit anything.
If somebody else starts jumping around, you
can't do anything.
And another thing with Call of Duty is like a game like that, there's like so many add-ons and shit that you could do, like all these different perks. And I'm just like, I don't even know. Like, that guy killed me with something that I've never seen before. And obviously, that's my fault for not playing the game enough. But I just felt like I want to be able to beat this guy because I'm better than him. I don't want him, like, hiding under a crack with some bullshit see through the wall. I don't remember. Some guy killed him one time. I was like, what the fuck was that? Yeah. You know? But yeah, we'll see. Call of Duty's tough because they don't get the time to, you know, tear this franchise down. Like, Halo 5 has had a lot of time to make. So, you know, they've probably been working on it for 4 years. That's a big difference than a game that comes out. I know there's different studios, but there's definitely crossover there, number one. And number two, it's still every, like, 2 years. Is that how long they get to make a new game?
Yeah, I think so. Is there three studios? It might be three years. If there's three studios, I think it's 3 years.
Yeah. But, yeah, we didn't want to turn this into a shitting on games, but it's kind of what the comment was about, so tough shit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree. I think there's room for Halo. I think there's room for a first-person shooter revolution, but until they stop being popular, it's never going
to
happen.
Yeah, and I wonder who's going to do it because it's going to take money to do it.
Right. And like we said, like Fallout 4, yeah, we could say that, but that's not, I don't think, what Commandant's talking about. Mm-hmm. I think he's talking about, you know, your classic first-person shooter single-player experience, but just the fact that they've just gone downhill.
Because indie games can really, like, revitalize or
make,
like, a genre big again. I don't think indie first-person shooter could ever happen.
It's
hard to make a
first-person shooter, It's the budget's too big. Yeah. It's all 3D models. And
so it sucks. We're going to have to leave it in the hands of Ubisoft and, and Activision and EA.
Yeah, that's true. The only chance you're going to get is if, like, some studio has something really genius and Microsoft or Sony or Nintendo is willing to just fund it and say, make us a game that's a tentpole, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You never know. Who knows? Maybe it'll be at E3.
Yeah, maybe Killzone will be there. Maybe then they'll finally write that ship.
Yeah, I mean, Killzone's
then again,
like,
that's a first-person, or that's a first-party exclusive, so I don't think we can count those.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know what though? If somebody does something, it'll tentacle its way into all the other games. You know, it's just you need that one studio to do something that changes everything, and then it'll work its way around. But I'm excited for Killzone. Do you think they'll show something?
I don't know, Gorilla. I thought I saw Gorilla was gonna be there. That'd be cool if they made something different, but it'll be a first-person shooter regardless of whatever they do.
Those games are classic games where it's like they're just short of being really good. Like
I thought three. I really enjoyed three. Yeah. I thought three was a well-made game.
Yeah, they're not.
Did not like the last one.
Which one was that?
The PS4 one you got.
Oh, the single player just was. I mean, it was might still to this day be the prettiest game on either console. The single player looked unbelievable, but yeah, it felt like it was rushed. And the multiplayer is actually kind of fun, but it's missing that something, and I don't know what it is.
Did you download that or buy a disc?
I downloaded it. I think I downloaded every game but FIFA that was gifted to me.
Okay. I couldn't remember what you did with that.
Yeah, we should give that a retry now. That it's so like, I was wondering. It's probably been patched a billion times. I haven't played it in forever, because I did enjoy it, but I remember playing multiplayer and being like, I don't know why this, like, it's really good, but I don't know why it's not great. Like, yeah, I can't figure it out.
There's not a lot of people playing that multiplayer.
That's probably true.
I bet you can find a game, but...
Yeah, I was about to say, what else would people be playing on PS4 multiplayer, and then I realized that there's Call of Duty.
Call of Duty, Destiny.
Yeah, true. I wish one of us played Destiny a lot so we could shit on it. We'll have to get my brother Ben on, who actually, he likes it.
I never played it.
Yeah. I totally get why people like it, but...
Me too.
I
like the beta a lot.
I think the people who like it also understand why a lot of people hate it. It's very obvious why, you know? And I think everybody has the same feeling. Destiny 2 is where it has to hit its stride. It has to be a much bigger world, and because they've nailed the mechanics. All they have to be doing right now is working on world building.
Yeah.
The controls are some of the best I've ever played. They're unbelievable.
That's what sold me on the beta, because I really wasn't sold on the game, but when I played that beta and the way it shot and moved, it was incredible.
Yeah, but like people don't want to.
I love the way the guns felt.
Absolutely, but the thing is, people don't want to play multiplayer really as much. Yeah. So you have to make this like it's supposed to be a single. It's supposed to be an RPG. That's
they never put in like matchmaking, right? Like you can't start a mission and have people.
They have added that, I guess. They didn't have it when I played, but it's still limited. Like it has to be certain raids and shit.
I just couldn't start something and have four or three random people show up.
Some of them you can now, but not all of them. But they were talking about on the Bombcast, I think, and they were saying there are certain raids. Like, I think you should always give people that option, but there are certain, like, the raids, like the big ones. Mm-hmm. If you just had, like, a bunch of random people in there, it would, like, suck balls. Because, like, you have to, like, play team strategy and shit. But you know what? Let people figure that out, because you can do a raid, meet a guy who plays well, maybe the other two guys suck, and make friends with him, and you know, go from there. That's why that shit exists. You know, you have to have some way of meeting. The fact that people are going on forums to make parties to then go play Destiny, that is not okay in 2015. That's how people do it. People go online and they have like these forums where it's like, hey, I'm starting a, you know, Vault of Glass raid, pop in. And like, that's lame as shit, you know? Even if they just had like a way to like, I don't know, find people, like talk to people, maybe not even like auto match made, but I don't know, whatever, something. That's all the news I got.
It's all I got.
Okay. Nothing else? So I can go home and go to sleep at like 8 p.m.?
Oh, sounds amazing, doesn't it?
It really does. I have woken up a little bit, but not much.
Yeah, I picked it up a little bit.
Yeah. Write us. Get us an email. Or you see some of the stuff was from our Reddit, which is reddit.com/r/8bitbourbon. So pop on there. Write us a comment. Write us 8bitbourbon@gmail.com. We're going to add some stuff. We want to do the new Game of Thrones Telltale
episode. I keep forgetting that's out.
Yeah, so we're going to do that sometime probably this week, and that will be on our YouTube, which is YouTube.com/8bitbourbon, YouTube.com/8bitbourbon. And, you know, we're 8bitbourbon everywhere. We're going to start a Snapchat at some point. I will announce that officially. I think the Snapchat would be great for like number one.
All the dick pics will go to yours.
Oh, I'm not gonna open anything. No. Okay. So we can number one do like our setups of like the episodes and stuff. Number two, when we're hammer drunk playing something, we can get a video of pun raging on Dota. We can get some can jam in there. I think it would be great.
With Periscope, do you have to have an iPhone?
No, they release an Android app. I downloaded it and have never used it.
Maybe we'll do some of that someday, too.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We should probably pick one or the other. We could do both.
Fuck it.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Nobody can hold us down.
Periscope is like you have to go through Twitter, right?
Yes.
And it's like, does it archive your shit, do you know?
I've seen archive videos, but...
Those are lame, though. But they were people have to be watching live, or it's
They're by like smart people, so I don't know if they were doing something.
Right. There's like a separate app you have to use to save it too.
I'm not sure.
But the whole point of Periscope is to do it live, so that'd be cool. I'm down for that. Maybe one day we'll Periscope a live episode.
What if we Periscope us taking a Snapchat video?
That's so meta, I can't wrap my head around it. You Periscope me Snapchatting while I Periscope you Snapchatting.
Oh, Jesus.
We had a Twitcher playing Fibbage who I'm pretty sure was going to send us tit pics.
Oh, yeah.
We gave her your Snapchat.
That's fucking great.
Oh, she was out of control. It was great. She was so into that game.
I think she's into you.
She was the most offensive person in that chat the whole night long. Mm-hmm. And I mean that not like she offended us, but like she was the most...
I muted her like the first 2 seconds she joined the game.
Yeah, she came in and like gave the right answer right away in the chat, but she was like talking about her nipples all the time. It was like out of control. And like when I say she's the most offensive, you gotta understand what that, if you haven't fibbaged with us, there are just the cesspool of America.
They haven't been bad lately.
No, it's been pretty, I mean, that's part of the hilarity. I mean, you just have to roll the punches and just realize you're not going to be able to clean up a Twitch channel. Just it is what it is. We take people out when it's like out of control,
and we have our mods do that too for us, which is nice.
Yeah, we got to get back. We got to do that at least once this week. You're going to have to carve out a Witcher night.
Okay,
or we could both just take a day off from work. No, I can't do that. Alright, thanks for listening. I got nothing else to say. You got anything?
Nope. Play the Witcher.
Yeah, I'm Andy.
I'm Adam.
We're 8-Bit Bourbon. Sweeter than you, sweeter than you. And I
would never find another lover more precious than you, more precious than you. The girl you are. Close to me, you're like my mother. Close to me, you're like my father. Close to me, you're like my sister. Close to me, you're like my brother. You are the only one. You're my everything. And for you, the song I sing. A stranger, you're all I'm thinking of. I praise the Lord above for sending me love. I cherish every hug. I really love you.
Someone like you. Yes, I pray that you.